You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, Tony Sincotta, and Greg Sussman here with you. Going with the 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Old school fantasy comes your way then. We got a combine going on. We have combine coverage all weekend long, including starting today at 11 a.m. Corey Parsons hosting that.
This is ridiculous.
Actually, the coverage is four full days of in-depth coverage.
It's not four full days. It's 2 hours a day.
Well, yeah. So, whatever. Four days of exclusive coverage fantasy-wise in the draft. More information on rotoexperts.com. Today, tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday, Corey with a variety of top fantasy analysts and NFL and college analysts to break this down for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of good times, so make sure 11 a.m. Eastern time this morning, and then, you know, rock with me throughout the weekend. Now, one thing I want to say is a lot of radio, you know what I'm saying? You know what? But I'm type of cat, Greg. I'll be down to do 24 hours straight.
Would you?
Yeah.
It's happened before on radio.
Yeah, I'd be down to
try. It's like a dance marathon. I'd be the first one to drop, right?
I'd be down to give it a shot, you know what I'm saying?
I did it with Lenny Melnick and Paul Greco once.
Oh, really? 24 hours straight? That's what's up.
Yeah, Lenny fell asleep.
Uh-huh. Marie is looking excellent today, Greg.
Mary?
Yeah, Mary. She is looking excellent today.
Oh, she's a good-looking woman.
Yes, uh-huh. I'm very happy to I just had a conversation with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you rise to the occasion?
I certainly did, Tony. I'm rubbing my hands together. It's kind of scary now. They might call the cops.
So, yesterday...
Segway. Call the cops. Is that a segue?
No.
Okay, all right.
Yesterday, it was reported Colin Kaepernick has new agents, and they've decided he's going to opt out in San Francisco. And today, Adam Schefter confirmed the report. But in the least surprising news ever, Colin Kaepernick feels his message has been received. He's going to no longer kneel for the national anthem. Of course, they don't play NFL games until September.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mr. Kaepernick wouldn't really need to make this decision about his national anthem thoughts or his beliefs until, well, September. That's 6 months away.
Yep.
So, Scott, you're looking at me inquisitively.
Because wouldn't he want to do that now to maybe, like, if some prospective teams are looking at him and saying, you know, we don't want that kind of controversy coming to our ball club by stating this right out of the gate, maybe he, you know, opens up more possibilities free agency wise.
Scott, that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like why would he wait until September to state this?
So Greg
because he's a joke, Scott. Because he was extremely passionate about the freaking national anthem and he kneeled all year and made a thing of it. But now when he needs to get paid, stand.
He's totally being transparent about it. But the way you were laying it out, it kind of sounded like, well, he should just wait until September to do it.
Well, if he actually cared about this, then he would. But you know what? He's a capitalist like the rest of us, Corey.
No. I disagree.
This dude's on a different level.
Disagree. Go totally disagree with you on that one, Greg. The point is out there.
Has he made his statement?
The statement has been made. The message has been received. Colin Kaepernick has done an excellent job of giving back to the community. Colin Kaepernick has been out there on the front lines, you know what I'm saying, taking a ton of criticism. Now, if you want to say Kaepernick is making a financial decision now, yeah, okay, he is. At this time, he is making a financial decision. But like you said, capitalism is what it is. We see it with, you know, the way that the direction that we're heading in right now, no swamp being drained, you know what I mean? Business as usual. So, yeah, so Kaepernick has made a stance where he says, you know what? The message has got across, which it did. You know what I'm saying? Now, when he goes to his next team, you think as soon as he gets there, they're not going to put a microphone in his face and get commentary from him?
First of all, there'll be no next team. And second of all, I'm getting my information from Jason Whitlock and Colin Cowherd. Watch them on this thing yesterday, 20 minutes. Where Where has it improved? What has improved? Where are the statistics?
He's got the message.
Anything?
He's got the message out.
What do you mean he got the message out?
He got the message out.
Yeah.
Great.
So, we're talking about it. He got the message out.
Listen,
he started the conversation. He brought the conversation mainstream.
Listen, I'll say this. What he does for charity, that's a good thing. Being out there, donating money to charity, like donating that week's salary, like, that's a great thing. I won't kill him for that. But the fact that he sat here kneeling all year, that, you know, this America is not his America, blah, blah, blah. Now Donald Trump's elected, everything's okay?
No, I'm not saying that, not saying that at all, you know what I mean? But he still has a job to do. He still has, you know, he still has to worry about himself as Colin Kaepernick. If he needs to be on a team if he wants to continue to make an impact, correct? The Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers will both be in on Colin Kaepernick.
He was basically a guy that everyone in the clubhouse hated. No one wanted anything to do with him. These are the players, not even the ownership. And because he did this, he became a little popular with some of the players because he was taking a stand. He was different. So all of a sudden he got some interest. So he got players to like him. Then he goes and makes the stand, and he doesn't fall through. Of course, we found out the whole thing. He didn't even go vote. So basically, he was just getting himself out there. And the whole thing basically was just like the protesters that protest on every single subject that basically don't have a feeling about anyone. That's what Colin Kaepernick comes off. He doesn't really care. This was just about him.
I disagree with that. I think the work that he's done out there in the Bay Area and across the country, I'm not going to give him a hard time on saying, you know, his comments now. I think that he brought awareness to it. It was the lead story for like the whole month of September. It was a big talk going in through October and the month before, August and September. So now I understand people he puts himself out there to where, you know, people can be critical of him once again and call him a fraud, more or less. Basically, that's what people are saying. You're a fraud now. But I'm not going to take that.
Is that what you're saying, Greg?
I'm not going to take that stance with Kaepernick. Yeah, the people are calling him a fraud now. But I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to take that stance with him because he did raise awareness to the situation. And whatever team he goes to next, they're going to put a microphone in his face, and he's going to continue to speak truth to power.
He's a fraud because he just ended his message because now he needs to get paid, and he has a better chance of getting paid if he doesn't make this a thing anymore.
Yeah, well, you still have to make a living. You know what I'm saying?
But how is that not fraud?
He's still got to make a living.
He's
still
ending his cause because he has to get paid.
How do you
say
he's ending his cause? He's standing up for the national anthem. That's not ending his cause.
His whole cause is around kneeling, sitting.
It's still going to be microphones in his face. He didn't just go out there and kneel and then not go off the field and back it up. He backed it up off the field, too. So the kneeling was a symbolism. That's what drew the attention. But he did the actual ground and pound, the actual footwork outside the field when nobody was watching, when there was no cameras and no tape recorders there. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. The
nobody, Scott, where are you? So is like
Scott, so, Scott's opinion here.
So is he going to? I'm questioning now. Is he going to stop doing that? And is he going to continue to help people off the field?
Maybe
that's good. I've always had mixed feelings on the Kaepernick subject because I always thought it was great to bring awareness, you know, to some of these issues that are going on in the community. But at the same time, like, it became controversial because it ticked a lot of people off who served our country. And there was also, you know, when he wore the Fidel Castro shirt, I think, like, he didn't think that through either. So,
oh, he thought it through. He just wanted people to talk about him. I mean, how
one second, Tony,
and wear a Fidel Castro shirt?
Yeah, it's just like I questioned that. It's like if he continues to do work in the community, I think that's good. But I think it's very I can see where Greg is coming off, like he's coming off because, like, okay, now that I need to make money, I'm going to stop, you know, doing this public show at NFL games.
See, I don't think it's a public show. You know, see what I'm saying? I think that he is truly passionate about it. But now he does know that,
maybe not public show, whatever you want to call it. Whatever, I'm still going to start making this public statement in NFL games because, you know, maybe I've rankled some owners or something like that. So when you think of that, you have to think of the fact that, okay, like he's going to go out there and say, maybe I rankled some people by doing this. I want to scale that back. You know, it's like you're going to scale back on your stance because now you want to make money.
He's stealing back on the visual part of it.
He's still scaling back on the stance, though.
He's scaling back on the visual part of it.
Which is scaling back on.
He's scaling back on what you see. That does not mean he's scaling back on what he does.
He's scaling back on what he's doing publicly on the sidelines for it. He's cutting back on it in some way.
That's a part of the show. You feel what I'm saying? That's already been done.
I'm not surprised that people are questioning his authenticity on this.
I think those people are wrong.
I think there are reasons to kind of poke at it and say, okay, how authentic is he on this? You know,
well, because you don't see him in the community, and if you're not bringing the like how your boy Marshawn Lynch used to say, you all sit up here and interview me in front of the media, you know, in front of the cameras and stuff like that, but none of y'all don't come to Oakland.
Right, they don't. You know what I'm saying? They didn't know
who
he was.
If you're not out there, if you don't know what he's doing in his activism in the community, you feel what I'm saying?
I'm saying,
see him on Sunday,
right?
But you don't see him off the field, so you don't know that part.
Right, there are two parts to it. Like I said, if he's still doing the off the field work, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is, it's coming across as kind of a confused message here.
Yeah, because people are ready to point fingers. Colin Kaepernick is not.
I'm not ready to point fingers at Colin Kaepernick. All I'm saying is, if it's great, it's what he does in the community, and he continues to do that, I'm all for that. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm not surprised people are going to question it when he's going to scale back on the public display part of it at a football game because he maybe wants to, ease the owners who he pissed off with that.
He has a home.
I mean, I could see the commercial. Hi, I'm Colin Kaepernick. I have beliefs until I need a job, money, and then I'm not. Also, I didn't vote.
But he the not voting thing, I agree with Tony on that. But he still has team. These people that he got around him and himself, he could have still continued to kneel. He still got teams that would have been. The Seattle Seahawks would have allowed him to do that. The Pittsburgh Steelers wouldn't have.
I don't know if the Seahawks would have allowed him to kneel.
He's a perfect fit in Seattle.
No,
Seattle,
the Seahawks.
Richard Sherman and Doug Bowen said, "If we're not all on board, we're not doing this."
No, they would not let him kneel. I know that. Like he just said, he took it right out of my mouth. What they did was they hooked arms. Okay. They didn't kneel,
but they would take him in there. They would take Colin Kaepernick.
But I think they would give him a shot. But if they kneeled, they wouldn't be playing.
Would Pete Carroll have Colin Kaepernick?
You know why? Because they came out and said we support what's going on in the community, but also we support the veterans and everybody that we salute. Hold on. Everybody we salute with the national anthem, we want to show our support for both ends.
Colin Kaepernick never said anything negative about the veterans, first and foremost.
No, but when he kneeled, the veterans took that as offense.
And you had a lot of veterans that also said we didn't have a problem with that.
But there were a lot that took offense, though.
So it's 50-50 in that aspect.
The Seahawks didn't want to piss off anybody. They wanted to show support for the African-American
community. The Seahawks is the most woke team in the NFL, Scott, by far.
What?
Seahawks is the most woke team in the NFL.
The most what team?
Woke. They're awake. They know what's going on. It's not. They're just not rich dudes inside their bubble.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that he would come into that locker room. Like you said, he's already passed the stands. But if he wasn't, he would come into that locker room and they would not tell him that you're not going to do that. Not the Seattle Seahawks. That's where people go to be themselves.
I don't think that's the atmosphere. I think that, you know, they all hooked arms there, and I expect Kaepernick would do the same.
844-843-6879. You want to join in our Colin Kaepernick conversation. And listen, I agree that Colin Kaepernick will be accepted in Seattle. Okay, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, I do too.
Number two, I don't think he'll be able to kneel because they made it very clear no one's kneeling. We're not all kneeling, right?
Yeah.
They made that whole team. It was a team thing. Number three, it is simply not a coincidence that his agents obviously encouraged him. Listen, you have a better chance of getting signed if you come out and don't do this anymore. It's very obvious that was the case. And to me, it's a very bad look of Colin Kaepernick.
I don't think it's a bad look at all because you're taking the on-the-field aspect of it. The Sunday morning, we cut away to whatever they name the damn stadium, Levi Stadium, and you see Colin Kaepernick on the sideline. That's the visual part of it. That's what's out there. But nobody, you don't know what he's doing off the field. You feel what I'm saying? So you can't say he stopped. Because he wants to get paid.
He's eliminated
the visual part of it.
He didn't stop, but now it's a hybrid message.
Now, the only thing I know that Colin Kaepernick ever did off the field is give $1 million to organizations. And I don't think he's ever, get off the couch and done anything.
You don't think so, Tony?
I don't know. I don't find anything.
You see, oh no, it's stuff out there. Sean King, from the Daily News, has plenty of stuff. He's been following this Colin Kaepernick story like since the beginning of it. So Colin Kaepernick has definitely been out there. I forgot the name of the organization he has, but he's been in the community and stuff like that. So, Colin Kaepernick has been out there.
844-843-6879 844-843-6879 Speaking of the business of football, free agency is officially 6 days away. Tampering period is coming up. We'll talk about what we were hearing from the combine yesterday. Next on the Roto Experts. Roto Experts in the morning.
Hey. Slowing it down on the Roto Experts in the morning. 844-843-6897.
Yeah, baby.
Taking your request right now on 6879. Taking your request right now.
Are you hurting, baby?
On the love line.
Are you hurting, baby, on David Price? We'll make you feel better, honey.
Hey, I'll tell you what. If you guys want information on Colin Kaepernick, Google Colin Kaepernick and Sean King. Sean King does a good job at pointing out a lot of stuff that he's done in the community, including some football camps in the Oakland area, absolutely free of charge, and a bunch of other things. So definitely get a lot more insight by Googling Sean King and Colin Kaepernick.
You aware of Sean King, Greg? Are you familiar?
I'm familiar with Sean King. I feel like you didn't think I was going to, man.
A lot of people don't like Sean King.
A lot of people do not like Sean King. That's true.
You ever read through his bench, his comments?
I have, actually.
Yeah, it's. I hope he has protection.
Probably does. Right. You think he carries?
Hmm?
You think he carries?
I don't think so.
He could.
I don't think he carries a weapon.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't carry a weapon. No, I don't. That's not a weapon, Scott. Oh, let me stop.
I didn't think it was.
Oh, all right, guys. So, from the combine here, you're hearing the notes and.
Can I get one more fool to talk about before we get there?
Absolutely.
It's bugging me. Terrell Owens last night. I've changed my direction on Terrell. Now I don't want him to get in the Hall of Fame.
What are you doing?
Shannon Sharpe took him to the side, right, and said to him, Terrell, you got to shut your mouth. And Shannon was really smart about it. Shannon says, listen, this isn't the NFL. Once you're a Hall of Famer, you're always a Hall of Famer. We can't get rid of you if you want. And you're pissing a lot of guys off. These are the guys that are going to put you in the Hall of Fame, and you're going out there speaking against them. Just think, what would you do in that situation if a guy was on TV bad-mouthing you all the time? So Shannon Sharpe took him aside, didn't make it public, didn't talk about it on the show. And then Terrell Owens, days later, comes out with a yellow jacket he makes for himself with his stats on the back. And Shannon Sharpe just went off on the show about it, like, this dude, he's not going to get in next time. He's in his own world. And I didn't get it until Shannon Sharpe was talking about it. He's an embarrassment.
He needs to stop, Terrell Owens. And the thing about it is, he's really talking people out of voting for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then his response is kind of like, well, I'm not bringing it up. People are asking me. Somebody might say, what do you think about the Hall of Fame? Then you talk for 2 days, you know what I'm saying? So, T.O. hasn't figured it out emotionally yet, you know what I mean?
Bill Polian called him a cancer.
Well, Bill Polian never employed him, correct?
I don't believe so.
So, how about Bill Polian now?
Maybe, you know, he talks to other owners, obviously.
I don't know. That doesn't seem fair.
Well, I'm sure you would do your due diligence before you decide to acquire someone.
Absolutely, Tony. Absolutely. But calling the dude a cancer, he's never seen him up close. I don't know. That seems harsh.
Well, if I call Steve Mariucci, and I respect Steve Mariucci, I would go with that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into some of the rumors now. And we always talk about how during the NFL season, coaches lie, and they love to lie all the time. So last week, Sean Payton said he fully expected Brandon Cooks to be a member of the New Orleans Saints next year.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yesterday, we're working on our trade with Brandon Cooks.
Do you think it's a good idea to trade him?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. Are they that upset by that time when they won that game and he was like...
I think that's what it comes down to. I think that's what it comes down to. I think that's just the epitome of him, right? That, like that's the part the media saw and we all saw was that Brandon Cooks was the ultimate me guy, but, like, he had to be chirping away in, like, the locker room or whatnot and chirping about his touches and his numbers and his whatevers. It pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, and I can see why that can happen, you know what I mean? You definitely don't want to come across that, especially so early in your career. But now if you look at the roster, I think they're doing themselves a disservice on the roster.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? They need to improve their defense, and they're always in salary cap hell. So maybe they think Thomas and Willie Snead are good enough.
Well, maybe Drew Brees should restructure his deal so they wouldn't be in salary cap hell.
No, Drew Brees is a me guy.
But it's okay for Drew Brees to be a me guy. Well, Drew Brees is also a champion, yeah, and Brandon Cooks ain't never won nothing.
Drew Brees never take no discount. Ever.
Wow.
Ever since Odell Beckham Jr. was drafted, both he and Brandon Cooks have the most 30-yard touchdown passes in the NFL.
It's easy. It's hard to just get rid of a guy like that because you don't like him in the locker room.
How much is it Brandon Cooks and how much is it the Saints system?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
The ultimate questions, I would say.
They even made Devery Henderson look relevant at times.
I like Devery Henderson. I don't really have to bash him. But you know what?
He would get a big touchdown and you wouldn't hear from him for 6 weeks.
For sure. So if they trade away Brandon Cooks and you're hearing the Titans, the team most connected to him, they would have gotten rid of
the Eagles, yeah.
They would have gotten rid of Brandon Cooks, potentially. And then Kenny Stills at 22 years old, they got rid of him. And obviously, he's going to be a free agent now. And people say he's going to make a ton of money here. Sean Payton probably should go, right? Like, this is a guy that probably should be gone. Right.
He's not the GM, though.
No, Mickey Loomis is. I don't know.
He's the one making the calls, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I just don't. You're right, Corey. Like he's making the team worse.
Yeah,
by doing this,
and it doesn't make any. Like, okay, I get it. You know what
I'm
saying?
Damn sense.
But I'm like, okay, like you still keep the player. Now, how much do you expect you're going to get in return for Brandon Cooks?
They think they're going to get a first-round pick.
Fantasy-wise, how much would you like to see him with Mariota?
For
Mariota.
I'd much rather see him in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Much rather see him in New Orleans, fantasy-wise.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, though. They have Willie Snead that'll probably step into that slot.
Yep.
Right, move out of the slot, yep. Go into there. 2 years ago, every fantasy guy was all over Brandon Coleman. He's still there. I mean, is it just opportunity?
I mean, they'll probably draft. You have Michael Thomas as their number one. Willie Snead will step into that role. I'm sure they have some other seventh round rookie they're going to draft. Everyone's going to love and whatever. You find somebody else. I agree, Tony. I'm with you.
I mean, if they can pull it off, Coleman, PG County kid.
It's Rutgers.
Huh?
He went to Rutgers.
He grew up in PG County.
I'm saying with the Rutgers.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you was disputing me.
Why would I dispute? I'm a fantasy executive.
Yeah, came up to say, what the hell are you doing? How you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing
all right. You got that nice red on again today.
Thank you, sir.
I love it.
Thank you.
I'm complimentary.
You got an Ezekiel Elliott.
I got a Zeke.
You got a jersey, what they call it, a shirt jersey.
I never heard it referred to as a
That's
jersey.
That's what they refer
before.
To as jersey when you have the
bless you,
the
Greg.
Player shirt with the name and number
okay,
on the back.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We just got off. Me and Scott just got into our own thing right there.
That's one wide receiver. I'm going to move on.
Listen, no, but Tennessee needs a wide receiver. Philadelphia needs a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But I don't think neither team should be giving them first round draft picks to bring in Brandon Cooks. I don't think so. I'm not doing that.
Totally agree.
I agree with that as well. So instead, you would go sign someone like Alshon Jeffrey.
Kenny Britt. Yeah.
Alshon.
Well, obviously not Tennessee because then that would be like going backwards, but you know what
Never
I mean.
Never go backwards.
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey, the favorites for him seem to be the San Francisco 49ers.
What?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sky talked about yesterday how they're looking for someone to put on the other side of Torrey Smith, and it looks like Alshon Jeffrey could be that guy. Kyle Shanahan has always had a big guy on that side, whether it was Andre Johnson, whether it was Julio Jones, and he wants to make Alshon Jeffrey his newest toy at that X spot, Scott.
Yeah, and I'm always a fan of putting a big possession target across from a speed receiver for them to complement each other. But of course, it all goes back to you know, as Tony said yesterday, well, who the hell's going to throw him the ball? Because, you know, that'll determine what his impact's going to be. Jeffries, you know, got a big wingspan, and he can pluck balls out of the air that, you know, that sometimes can be errant, you know, in an A.J. Green short sort of way. So, you know, if he does end up playing with a scattergun quarterback, he still can make plays, but his value is all going to hinge on who's going to be the quarterback there. If it ends up being Kirk Cousins, that could be a nice combination.
So?
I like the move. I mean, Chicago should have done whatever they could to keep this guy. I mean, they're going to be a team that's going to be under the cap. They're going to go out and sign some player. They're looking at a cornerback, Gilmore from Buffalo, that they're going to go after. And that's a big position in the NFL. San Francisco, I got to wait and see the quarterback because this is going to be a big, big situation here. Mike Glennon, like, is the hot name now.
Yep.
Is he going to be the guy in San Francisco? Is he going to be end up, you know, in Chicago?
New York?
End up somewhere. And he's going to get, $10 to $12 million. That's pretty good for a guy that's, you know, sat on the bench for 5 years.
It's unbelievable. He showed a little bit, and we always talk about it all the time, how desperate teams are for quarterbacks. And that's what this is with Mike Glennon, right? Like, that's exactly what this is. And
let's just say, if Blaine Gabbert was back, like, what was the earliest you could pick? You can't pick Alshon Jeffery before the fourth round, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally, totally agree.
What if they get Cousins? Do they have enough to get Cousins and Jeffery?
I don't know the cap situation, but I don't think Kirk Cousins is going anywhere, to be honest with you. I don't think they're trading him.
Yeah, I don't think so either, unfortunately.
You just don't know.
Jay Cutler going to be in San Fran.
I can see that.
Then they would have the chemistry together. So, you know, they,
I don't know. I feel like Alshon Jeffery probably hates Jay Cutler.
Alshon Jeffery said he wanted to play for a contender.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Or does he want to get paid?
He said he wants to play for a contender. I read that.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
NFL.com.
You go to...
Who said the Bears would win the Super Bowl?
Oh, is this Florio?
Yeah. Alshon Jeffery said the Bears would win the Super Bowl this season.
He did.
He was incorrect.
Yeah.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah, this is a headline right here on NFL.com. Alshon Jeffery wants to be with contender. So you're not going to San Francisco. Then again, he's going to go with that check.
I got one for you about the Giants. Put him with Odell.
They don't have any money.
And the Giants draft wide receivers. Yeah.
What is wrong with the Giants?
Yeah.
What is wrong with the Giants? Can't that GM and that coach get rid of can they stop talking? Like, I've never seen a quarterback get bashed
it's
so
unbelievable.
Much this offseason.
It's unbelievable.
What is wrong with those people?
It makes no sense. Then that, like, he was asked a question about the offensive line, and his answer about the offensive line was Eli needs to be better.
Yeah. Needs to stay in the pocket on his back foot more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this before.
It's actually remarkable.
If I'm Eli, I force my way to Jacksonville.
Would you go, Tommy, I want to come home.
I force my way to Jacksonville.
Of all places? I'd rather force my play to San Francisco.
I get Tom Coughlin. The Jaguars actually have a decent team.
Yeah,
they're not going to be bad this year. They have a shot at 500.
I think so, too. I said that, but you know what? To be fair, Tone, I've actually said that all the last 5 years, I think.
I haven't because their offensive line has been so bad. And
right.
It still is. Like, that's still the weak spot.
Yep.
But they're trying to address it, and they seem to have people in place that know what's going on now. So hopefully that happens. And I actually like Blake Bortles. I think he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL.
You know what I'd like to see, but it's very long odds of it happening? Tyrod Taylor and Alshon Jeffery both going to the 49ers.
That'd be cool.
I think they would work well together.
Oh, I don't know if those odds are as like slim as some other things we talk about on here. Eli Oda Jacksonville.
Doug Marrone was at the podium yesterday, and he said that the Jags need to get better around Blake Bortles. Like, Blake is going to be the guy, but the Jags got to get better around him, specifically with the offensive line.
He said
Chris and TJ need to do a better job also. And he mentioned that Chris and TJ need to do a better job, and he wants to see, you know, he said he wants to see more from Denard Robinson. And he said, and we saw some, he more or less, the way he phrased it was Corey Grant could be someone of interest to him.
He looked good at that last game there. And Blake Bortles, and nobody talks about it, he got sacked more times than any quarterback in their first 2 years in the history of football. I mean, that takes – we go back to David Carr's brother, right?
Yeah, yeah. About to say
that
Derek
was a problem.
Carr. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Derek Carr.
So, I mean, they I don't know. Offensively, they got to start with the offensive line. But I think a change in the culture is good for them, though.
I think so, too.
I think a change in the culture is good for them.
I think so,
so it'll
too.
Be interesting to see if they – listen, and the division is terrible.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Well, unless the Colts get this McCaffrey kid.
Well, it's not – you think Christian McCaffrey's the answer?
If Christian McCaffrey ends up on the Colts, they can be have a very dynamic offense.
They still have the worst
– worst offensive line in football. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This would be the – that Ryan Grigson would have taken Christian McCaffrey.
They score 50 points.
They Andrew Luck would die first.
You can't score 50 when the quarterback's on his back. Yeah.
They'd have another shoulder surgery.
Andrew Luck would be hanging out with David Price.
So –
in the morgue.
I would like to see that, though. That would be excellent.
David Price and Andrew Luck in the morgue.
No. That's not nice.
They need an offensive line. Ryan Grigson kept drafting pieces like that, and it stunk.
McCaffrey is different, though.
Why do you love Christian McCaffrey?
I think McCaffrey has a fantasy skill set. You get him on the right offense, he's a matchup nightmare.
He'll be great in New England. But I'm excited for it.
Why you putting him in New England, huh?
That's where he's going.
He's not going to make it to New England.
It all starts with the offensive line, though.
You can't draft a skilled position player. Yeah, if that GM ever picked a running back or wide receiver, he'll be fired 5 minutes after.
He was just hiring Chris Ballard, too.
Yeah, who's going to open holes for him, you know?
And he went up with wide receivers to the Giants, Scotty, by the way. Brandon Marshall makes a lot of sense.
There you go.
Offensive lineman in the first round. You know, you still.
No, you don't have to, but you
can also get him in free agency and stuff like that.
But
too.
It's not a bad idea to do it, though.
I'm in on Brandon Marshall, the Giants. Make it happen. Let's go.
It'd be a nice fit. No.
Yeah, why not?
Brandon Marshall in Washington.
That works too.
I like it with the Giants, though, because I'll tell you why. Because you got Odell going downfield. You know, you got Shepard in the slot, and then you got Brandon Marshall. Like, you know, he can still be a really nice guy to move the chains.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
If the Giants go for a wide receiver in free agency, it'd be Kenny Britt.
I don't think so. I don't think bringing him back to New Jersey is a good idea.
I think Kenny Britt is
Brandon Marshall still doing that NFL show?
Yes, in New York.
Yeah.
In New York, so he's going to sign with the Giants.
I think so, too.
To Philadelphia.
I heard another. Rumor.
They can go to Philadelphia, live in South Jersey.
Yep. That works too.
That too.
The other place I heard with Brandon Marshall was Baltimore.
Yeah, that's the first one I heard.
That's the first rumor I heard.
Oh, somewhere. Slow old wide receivers. They go to Baltimore to get that last little bit. I don't think Mike Wallace will be back. Mike Wallace may not be back in Baltimore.
He burns a lot of bridges, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what about the Steelers referring to Martavis Bryant in the past
tense?
Yeah, did we talk about that yesterday?
No.
Yeah, they referred to Martavis Bryant in the past tense.
I guess they don't expect him to be reinstated so quickly. Does that upset you?
If Martavis Bryant say he's not back in Pittsburgh, do you think Pittsburgh would go back to Mike Wallace?
No, I think it's bad blood there.
You think it's bad blood there?
Yeah, okay. He's like,
look at somebody else.
Like
fast.
Tony says, like he's the kind of guy that burns bridges. He's done it in both real life and fantasy.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Team of Day today. Get excited. It's the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, the Brew Crew.
A lot of excitement in the room. The Brew Crew. Next on the Road Experts. Team of Day today. Is the Brew Crew the Milwaukee Brewers? And we begin toward the top. The best two players in the Brewers, the most fantasy relevant players in the Brewers. Guys, we've talked about a little bit, some not as much. So, Tony, I will start with you, my friend. Ryan Braun or Johnny VR, who do you got? Nope, he's not here either. Florio, me and you. All right.
Greg, I think everyone just, they had enough of you this
Everyone
morning.
Left me. Everyone went to the bathroom. It's unbelievable. All at the same time.
You got the exec back.
Fans executives come back from the bathroom.
Scott was trying to peek over. I had to fight him off. Hey, turn your mic on.
It's on.
It's on.
So
Scott breathing hard.
No one wants to ask me. Hey, would you sprint up the stairs? He's literally catching his breath.
He's in bad shape.
Hey,
he's all washed right. up.
All right. Would you stand outside and have a cigarette?
Good one right there.
Yeah,
well, that's a good one. Can somebody answer my question, please? Ryan Braun or Johnny VR?
That's a tough one.
It is, Scott.
Now Braun is he's proven across the board. But he's also 33 years old. VR is obviously high in drafts. I think when you look at, or at least the perception that steals are down across the majors, but, you know, VR, you know, gives you some pop, too. It gives you a higher amount of stolen bases and is more of in his prime than Ryan Braun. I'm going to go VR.
Corey?
I'm going to go Ryan Braun. I'm going to go Ryan Braun. Give me the better overall numbers across the board, and I'm gonna get a discount on the player too. I go with Ryan Braun.
Tony,
Jonathan Villar, because of the positions, right? You got an outfielder, or you get two position eligibility with Jonathan Villar. You get more stolen bases. It's a little bit of a risk because Braun, we pretty much know what we're gonna get, and he hasn't slowed down despite the age on the stolen bases. I would go with Jonathan Villar, but it's really close.
Oh yeah.
I think it's really, really close as well. Johnny VR, if everything is for real, I think he's the answer. But I think it's extremely, extremely close. And second base probably does it for me. He'll be both eligible, right? Second base and shortstop. So it's a big spot for Johnny VR. I like it. I'm going to go with VR as well.
All right, I'm cool with that.
I was watching the game the other day. He's a big dude for a little guy. Like, he's got one of them big little bodies.
Big little bodies.
I would need more explanation on that.
What is a big little body?
He's not tall, but he's though he's wide.
Thick.
He's got big
shoulders. He's wide, yeah.
He's got a big butt.
Like Jerome Bettis type.
He's not that big.
He's not little.
No.
He's like Ricky Weeks big.
Oh, like a bulldog. Yeah. Like the bull.
Yeah.
Greg, you signed up for this, brother.
Keon Broxton or Orlando Garcia? Scott.
Garcia, yes. I would say I'm going to go Broxton.
Did you just say Garcia, yes?
Yes. You said Garcia.
I said Keon Broxton or Orlando Garcia.
You said Orlando Garcia.
Why would I say Garcia when I wrote Garcia?
I don't know what you said it anyway. Whatever. Doesn't matter. You know, Orlando Garcia, both these guys are going to give you pop. And they're going to give you speed. You might like Garcia more because he's in the middle infield. But Broxton's had a good batting average at the minors. And there might be a little bit more stolen base upside. It's very, very close. But I'm going to go Broxton. You know, I think he took his bumps last year. He went back to the minors, came back up and played better. I'm going to lean towards Broxton here.
I'm going to lean towards Broxton also. I think he's an ascending player. And you know what I mean? I do like the speed potential right there. And like you said, he's got some pop. So, give me Keon Broxton, you know what I'm saying? I think things are looking up for Mr. Broxton. Excuse me.
It's Garcia for me. He's going to be a superstar in this league. Keon Broxton's just another player. I don't know if it's going to be this year. He's only 22 years of age. So, that's a shot. I like Keon Broxton. He's going to get to stolen base. I think he's going to hit for a little more power this year. But if everything goes right for Garcia, he could be 15 home runs, 25 stolen bases at the shortstop position. It's going to happen in the next couple of years. I just don't know if it's this year, but I'll take the shot of that it is.
If this was a keeper league, I'd say Garcia. But this year, I'm going to go with Broxton.
A lot of people believe, I think, that Orlando Garcia, one of the reasons that he struggled in AAA last year before getting called up was because he was, quote-unquote, bored in AAA. He's one of those guys, yeah, like Francisco Lindor, that had been there. He had done well previously in the minors. Like, he had nothing left to prove. That's why he only batted .267 last year. He gets called up. 4 home runs, 8 stolen bases, only batted .219. The OBP is at .273, batted at .267. Tony, what do you see in Garcia's numbers that make you think he's going to have the ability, maybe not this year, but to really be one of these, you know, 10 and 25 guys?
There's not a lot to go by because he has that very limited track record in the minor leagues. But you're looking at a kid that has all the skills, right? The guy can fly. He's a big kid for a shortstop. He had a .300 batting average at the minor league level. Twice
He can steal 25 to 30 bases at the minor league level. It's a lot easier than the major league level. We've seen it time and time again with guys like Jock Peterson had big numbers, and then they can't translate there. So it's just learning at the major league level. And at 22 years of age is the concern. If he's ready to go, he's learning at the major league level. But this kid, everybody was all over this kid, and he's going to be a star.
Yeah, last year, 21.8 strikeout percentage, but it's been lower in the minors, and over time it's going to come down.
Well, in the major leagues is where he's playing at now, and that's where his fantasy value lies. So if he's striking out 21% of the time in the major leagues, then that's normally a player Scott Engel wouldn't go for because it's a drain on your batting average.
Well, I think
the league average is 19%.
Yeah, like... I think it's going to come. My point is, I think it's going to come down a little when you look at the minor league track record.
So, Greg, you said that he was running those. You thought like he was bored and what do you call it? The minor league
ladders. Yeah.
What do you feel about that's like playing to level his competition type thing? Because that happens to me sometimes. You know what I'm saying? When I'm like, oh, this I can't do this. You know, I'm bored here. Not here in particular. You know what I'm saying? But it's kind of like, yeah, I'm past this. You know what I'm saying?
Scott, that's a shot at you. He works with you 6 hours a day.
Scott is not a shot at you.
I love the trouble making attempt by Tony. That was very clever, Tony. I got to give it to you. That was really like on your toes kind of, you know, troublemaking kind of crap.
I just thought, I don't know, that's what I heard.
Tony's sitting here going, I haven't heard these two go at each other in the last hour and a half.
I think we all, Corey, to answer your question, I think we all always want to be challenged. I think we want to be mentally stimulated.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, you're sitting at your job and you're staring at the same spreadsheet and the same numbers.
You're
doing the same thing without any variation. I think you get bored. I think you're ready for another challenge. So I don't kill guys that need an extra challenge.
Yeah.
To answer your question.
What do you think about the extra challenge, Scotty?
Yeah, I think Greg hit it pretty much on the head. Yeah. I mean, you know, look at you. It's like, you know, you're doing all these shows, right? And now you're taking on an extra challenge, you know, with this scouting combine in 4 days. You know, it's like, so now we can call you the fantasy executive and the underwear analyst.
So there you go, right?
You
there.
Know what's so funny about what you just said, and to Greg's point? If I always think about guys like John Hansen, right? If I did that every day, I might jump off a bridge, to be honest with you. Yeah. If I did that every day, the amount of time we work, I to just do one thing would drive me crazy. And people always ask me, how do you do all this? If I didn't do all the different sports and every day like was a challenge doing, you know, 3 or 4 different sports, I think I would lose my mind. I don't think I'd be as sharp just
yeah,
doing
one sport. You would get into a drill, you get into a regimen, you know, and it's like from my perspective, I do this, I do old school, but I also got the NASCAR show and the Hall of Fame show. Corey's doing like different things, you know, Greg has Sports Grid and stuff like that. You know, the thing with the Manzos, so we all get a chance to be versatile here.
What's the thing with the Manzos?
Let's take a break. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to hear from P.J. Tucker, Toronto Raptors, forward. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. P.J. Tucker was traded at the trade deadline to the Toronto Raptors from the Phoenix Suns. He was in Phoenix for quite a while, from 2012 to 2017, after playing all over the world, found a home in Phoenix, and now goes back to the team that drafted him, the Toronto Raptors. And Scotty, you got a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, and I did get to ask him this question, but I started out by talking to P.J. about the fact that, you know, he came over here and maybe this team was looking for a veteran presence on defense, and does he fit that bill?
I'm surprised. There's a lot of rumors, like it is every year, trade deadline. You never know what's going to happen. But it's exciting to be back in Toronto. Familiar place, a lot of familiar faces. And, you know, just the way they play kind of fit my style anyway. So it's a good fit. So just excited to be here.
Do you feel like, you know, you lend like a certain veteran presence to this team, even though you're new at the ball club?
Yeah, I definitely do. That was my 11th season, so been around the block. I know how it goes. You know, for me, it's just trying to build around the team, being able to fit in and get in with these guys and try to fit in with them.
So, you know, you and Serge Ibaka come over to a team that's known for its offense. You know, do you feel like with Serge, you guys can establish like a new defensive identity for this team as well?
I feel like they had a little identity with DeMar playing. You know, he plays good defense. So, I think with the addition of me and Serge, you know, we got a little bit more defense with all the offense we already have.
You played a lot of ball overseas. You know, how did that enrich your experience and even prepare you more for the NBA the second time around?
Helped me get better as a player individually. Taught me how to play my team ball. You know, over there, it's a lot more team ball and playing roles. I think I just grew as a player, just playing a lot. Just playing a lot of minutes and learning how to play.
When you got guys like you and Serge and Damari, you know, what do you think that you know, says to opponents about your defensive identity and your toughness?
That we're gonna attack you. You know, we're not gonna be offensive on defense. We're gonna be defensive. You know, we're gonna attack you. We're gonna come at you. We're not gonna sit back. We're gonna be aggressive. And that you know, with us, we can do a lot of switching. You know, we don't have to overhelp with each other. You know, we know guys keep each other in front, and we can be solid. So when you got that, it's solid.
Last one for you. How do you react? And I'm sure you've heard this when people say to you, PJ, I have you on my fantasy basketball team. Do you take that as a compliment?
Yeah, for sure. I hear it a lot, all the time. Everywhere I go, I always hear that. So it's always a compliment.
Interesting with PJ Tucker, when he was drafted by the Raptors, but then went to play in Israel, Italy, and Germany before coming back to the NBA. You know, we've talked a lot about the Raptors this week. You know, his first game with the Raptors, he got 10 rebounds against Boston. It was very physical. You know, got into an incident there, but you know, only 11 rebounds over the last three games. When I saw him this week play against New York, you know, he was on Carmelo Anthony defensively. But I don't think they've quite gotten what they've wanted. Rebounding wise, defensive stat numbers wise. You know, since this trade, as we've talked about a lot this week, Greg, I think this team is still coming together with the loss of Kyle Lowry and the trades. You know, this is, and like Tony and I were saying yesterday, the ball doesn't move on offense, and you know, defensively, you know, this team is still finding its way with the new additions.
Well, I think the Kyle Lowry injury obviously was a disaster for them. Like, they were counting on Lowry and DeRozan to be their offensive pieces, and the rest simply be defensive juggernaut with Damari Carroll, with PJ Tucker, with Serge Ibaka, and certainly Jonas Valanciunas at the center position. And without Kyle Lowry, it's a major offensive blow to them they haven't been able to pick up.
The team felt like they weren't tough enough on defense, and that's a big reason why they went out and got Tucker. And they said already Tucker is like, you know, this 32-year-old, you know, presence in the locker room. You know, like they want him to be like a steady veteran sort of from the defensive side.
He's not going to bring anything to them. Like, he is the same player as Damari Carroll. They're the same player. So all what they did is they brought in depth, I think, on this team. But I think they're getting the same player in Damari Carroll and PJ Tucker. Like, to me, it's kind of crazy.
I kind of agree. It's almost like you have Damari Carroll as your first unit, small forward defensive guy, yeah, and you have PJ Tucker as your second unit, small forward defensive guy, and that's fine. And there's no issue with that. But with the injury to Kyle Lowry, they need more offense.
Where is it going to come from? It's DeRozan. And who? You feel like sometimes you watch Corey Joseph, he can step up, but you know, I've seen him once or twice this year have really good games, but you know, it's all about, like we were talking about yesterday, it's about it's one-on-one ball. Just clear it out for DeRozan. If I don't have what I want, I'll throw it to you, Joseph, and maybe if you're lucky, you throw it back to me and you get an assist. He had one assist the last time out.
The only way to make this better in the short term for them is to basically take Carroll out of the starting lineup and you go with an offensive minded
lineup.
Norman Powell. I mean, he makes the most sense to me. But this coach, like, they went out of their way to get these defensive players, and they're trying to, I think they're doing it wrong in today's battle. Believe me, you guys hear me all the time on the show saying how I hate when it's a 3-on-1 and the guard pulls up for a 3-pointer instead of shooting a layup. Basketball's changed, and that's the way it is. And to go in this way, the Raptors are making a big mistake.
You know, it's interesting. The problem would be, though, Tony, if you put Norman Powell in the starting lineup, then when your starters are on the bench, who the hell is going to score?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they got problems on this team.
They do.
And yet, this is the second or third seed in the East when it's all over.
You know, it's interesting because we looked at the Orlando trade initially and how good Serge Ibaka was, and then Terrence Ross getting 35 minutes a night in Orlando, and I think we underrated his scoring prowess off the bench with Toronto and how necessary and important he was. And I guess maybe it's highlighted because of the Lowry injury, but this team desperately would need a guy like Terrence Ross right now.
Yeah, right now he'd be a big guy. And I know I watch Orlando play a lot because they're on the local TV out here.
Right.
Terrence Ross can't play any defense. Like, he allows a lot of points, so now I kind of figured out why he never got an opportunity in Toronto.
Sure.
They love him in Orlando, and they're playing small lineups, and they're getting up down the court, and the game's way more exciting with him involved, but he just can't cover anyone.
Yeah, ideally, and I know that wasn't the trade, though. You would have liked to keep Ross, and maybe they didn't need Tucker.
Yeah, but that wasn't,
that's not the way it worked out, though, but.
Again, as Tony said, they clearly were targeting defense here, and they were clearly targeting just getting bigger and being better defensively than everybody else, which is why they acquired Ibaka.
Yeah, and they felt they could do it before Lowry got injured, so.
When we come back, we talk about the NBA, continue our basketball discussion. The games last night, 3 games in the association, including Golden State going down again. We'll talk NBA in hour number 3 next.